Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Celebrate Our God-Given Freedom and Faith While Honoring Our Blessed Mother with Ghirelli's USA Rosary. Each state is represented on this rosary's 50 beads. Red, white, and blue enamel adorn its patriotic crucifix. Get yours today. Shop www.ghirelli.com. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends. So excited for today's show because we're going to hear from someone who is sharing not only an amazing, amazing program that's instilling great life into the church, but we keep talking a lot about, you know, the future of our church and the youth. And I think we're going to have a great conversation today about some of the answers that are being provided to some of those big questions that we have about how to welcome families, to nurture them, to really instill the faith in our homes and in our parishes. So joining me today on the podcast is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. He's known around the world as the Dynamic Deacon, and he's one of the most sought-after speakers in the church today. Deacon Harold is a powerful and passionate evangelist and preacher, and he has taken the good news of the gospel from shore to shore and around the world. He's currently able to be heard in the mornings on EWTN radio and also has a feature program on their television as well. And he is here today to discuss with us the award-winning Chosen program from Ascension Press. Welcome, Deacon Harold, to this little podcast. I'm so happy to have you on today.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa, for having me. I've been a great admirer of your work for a long time, especially with your work with Catholic moms, and it's great to be with you today.
Well, it's a treat, and we share so much in common, and I think we've had a great chance to meet in person a few times, but for any of our listeners that have never met you or encountered your preaching or your writing, one of the first questions I always like to ask my guests is just to share a little bit of your story. So if you could do that for us, that would be great.
Sure. Just quickly, I was born in Barbados in the West Indies in the Caribbean. My father was not a person of faith. My mom was a Methodist who converted to the Catholic faith as a teenager. And I'm the oldest child, and so I am actually the first baptized Catholic in the history of our family. After immigrating to the United States, my mom kept us in Catholic schools. So I spent in Catholic schools my whole life, all the way through graduate school. Thought I might have had a vocation when I was 12, and when I got to high school, my high school was run by Benedictine monks, St. Benedict's Prep in Newark, New Jersey, and I did the Come and See program all 4 years, went off to college, worked for a year, and then joined the monastery. And then my parents were divorced, and after spending some time in the monastery, my mom got sick and almost died, and I left to take care of her and my sister. And went to a wedding and met the woman who ended up being my wife. So that didn't work out. So I ended up getting married and moving to Oregon because my wife is from Oregon, and discovered the diaconate and started the program in 97, was ordained in 2002, and had a career in campus law enforcement and left that in 2012 to speak and to write full time. And that's what I've been doing ever since. We're married 25 years, 4 beautiful kids. Yeah, God is good.
Oh, that's so amazing. And I love hearing your story. I've heard it a few times, and there are so many little nuggets in there, including the career in law enforcement that kind of just like gets tossed in there. But I think it's so interesting, and I know that you work. You're assigned at a parish. Many of us know you for your work in media, but you know you have the regular duties of an active parish deacon. So I'm sure one of the questions you get is, how do you do it all, dad, deacon, writer, preacher? How does God bless you with the gift of time management that helps you to accomplish so much?
Well, yeah, you have to keep things in proper perspective and priority. So for me, relationship with God is first, the family and marriage and family second, and everything else after that. So, and part of it too is, you know, I'm assigned to a parish, but I technically don't have any responsibilities there.
Typically, interesting.
We have ministry agreements with the pastors. So the diocese came up with this idea, and we signed these agreements so that everyone's on the same page as to what the responsibilities are. And I was released from mine by my bishop so I could be free to speak and to write. So basically the only thing I do is when I'm in the parish is preach when I'm there on Sundays.
Well, that's a big thing. So,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah, and we know that.
So and listening to my wife, quite frankly, I really believe the Holy Spirit speaks through her. And if I don't listen to her, I'm an idiot. So when she goes, "Oh, I need you home," or "Oh, you know, don't take that," or whatever, I just said, "Yep." You know, I just, yes, and so I believe that's from the Holy Spirit. So,
you know, that's something that you and I have in common. It's interesting that for me, and you would think that I wouldn't have had to wait so long to figure this out, but Greg and I have been married. We just celebrated our 33rd wedding anniversary. And about 5 years ago, I realized, you know, before I accept something or say yes to what seems to be a wonderful opportunity, I probably better ask my husband what he thinks about this before I do it. So it's now actually part of my discernment process on just about most of the opportunities that I have that, you know, not something really small, but for most work-related things, I just kind of ask him. And more often than not, he's like, yeah, you should definitely do that. But every once in a while, there's just a moment where he's like, you know, and that is, you're right, it's the Holy Spirit speaking. And we know the diaconate is a married vocation, you know, for you, that your wife is definitely part of that. So, yeah, that's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, let's dive into a conversation about what we came to talk about today, which is this amazing program. Chosen is actually celebrating 5 years of success. Ascension Press put this together, and I was amazed to hear that at this point, the program has been blessing the lives of over 500,000 students and 200,000 parents and sponsors that have gone through it. Give us some of the nuts and bolts basics of Chosen.
Yeah, so when I got invited to be part of Chosen, I was a little bit skeptical because, quite frankly, Lisa, I was doing my own confirmation program. I was still quite active in the parish back then. I still had my law enforcement job. So, I didn't like what was out there, quite frankly, so I used my own. And so when I got approached, I'm like, I'm not so sure. But then when I saw an outline for what they were doing and saw the storyboarding and saw how they were approaching it, I said, okay, yeah, sign me up. Because finally there's a program that's actually speaking to young people the way they need to be spoken to. And I'll give you a cool example. A good friend of mine, actually a guy who was in my wedding party, called me panicked one day because his son was thinking about leaving the youth group and stuff and maybe leaving the church because every time he'd go there, they fill him with soda and chips and pizza and they had played games where they never talk about anything serious. And he had some serious questions about the faith. And so I answered those questions for him and told him to hang in there. And so like that kind of approach that I was taking for him is what the approach that Chosen does. It just doesn't, you know, it connects the head and the heart. It doesn't give information about the faith and information about Jesus. It's really about deepening a personal, intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the faith just doesn't become what you do. It becomes part of who you are. And it fills that gap that so often happens. You know, we parents get so busy and so caught up with the kids and managing the home and driving the soccer, doing all this stuff. And we don't really take time to teach our children the faith. We kind of outsource it. Well, Catholic faith will do it, or Catholic schools will do it, or youth group will do it, or confirmation class will do it. They never foster those conversations at home. And that forms a disconnect in the heart of our kids because they say, okay, I'm learning all this stuff about Jesus. When I go home, you know, we're not praying. We're not doing anything about the faith. So if it's not important to my parents, it's not important to me. Well, what Chosen does, it presents the faith in a way that opens their eyes and most especially their hearts, where they really feel the impact of the Holy Spirit in their life. And they're making that deep personal connection where the faith is really being, there's the word traditio, right? Tradition means to hand it down. And so they hand it down to them. So they take this faith from their parents and they make it their own. And like I said, 500,000 kids, or even, again, 200,000 parents. That's the key. I think every parent and sponsor should go through this just as much as the kids.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about for a moment families that are out there who have their kids that are, you know, maybe even a little younger than confirmation age. And we know around the country now that confirmation is happening in different points in kids, you know, in adolescence, childhood, some as young as, you know, fifth or sixth grade, all the way up to junior or senior year of high school. So if a family is enrolled in a confirmation program at a parish that's not using Chosen, is there a possibility of them, you know, bringing this into their own home and using it, you know, under their own roof?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we just had a woman do that with her son in our parish. Because unfortunately, we're a small inner city parish. We don't have a youth program or anything like that. So she was looking something for confirmation. And so I gave her the Chosen program and sat down with her, went through with her, you know, how to use the workbooks and stuff. And I did the first few sessions with her and her son so she could kind of get used to the feel of it. And they went through the program, and they loved it, both of them. Mom said she learned so much. She goes, I'm a Catholic my whole life. And I didn't know a lot of that stuff that's in that video, you know. So now she's able to have really meaningful conversations with her son, you know, long after the program is over, long after confirmation is done. So it's not just checked off a list. Okay, I went to the prom. I got my driver's license. I got confirmed, so I guess I can graduate from being Catholic now. You know, what this did with both of them going through it, and they're able to have really focused and really special mother-son time together, talking about the things that matter most in life, you know, getting to heaven. And what does all this really mean? And sacraments, how do I cooperate with the grace of sacraments? How do they have power in my life? And what's going to happen when I'm 10 years from now? Am I still going to be in love with Jesus? And, you know, it's really awesome. And to have a program like this that fosters that kind of relationship, not only between parents, but with the child and with Jesus Christ, is just, I think, wonderful.
Now, you actually are part of the video format of this. What does the program actually look like on a week-to-week basis? Is there a book? Are there videos? How does it all come together?
Yeah, it's kind of built on the RCIA model. So there's a workbook for the students with content in it that's supplemented. So it supplements what's in the videos. There's a leader's guide. You know, so the person that's facilitating the program can help guide the students through it. And again, it's very interactive. And I think the best part of all that is the small group conversations where they're using the workbooks and talking about the videos and engaging, you know, in these small groups where they're actually able to ask questions and hear what other people are thinking. And, oh, yeah, I had that same question, too, you know. And it's really fostering really significant discussions about the faith, especially now where we're just bombarded almost on a daily basis by more relativism and subjectivism. It's like the world's lost its mind, you know. And if we don't counter that, then we're going to lose. Right now, the fastest growing group are those who are leaving the faith for nothing. You know, we call them the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. You know, and how do we counter that? We have to counter that with the truth. And the truth ultimately is a person, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and fostering a dynamic relationship with the living God. And that's what Chosen helps to do.
You know, you mentioned the great blessing for parents and sponsors using this, you know, how they've learned. And I know I've never been a confirmation sponsor, but I have been actually an RCIA sponsor. And I felt in all of the times that I've done that I should say thank you to the person who asked me to be their sponsor, because every time I learned something new about the faith. And I'm just curious for you, you know, you've studied your faith. You're a theologian, an author, and a speaker. What What did you learn by being a part of the process of creating Chosen?
I learned probably, that's a great question. I learned about effective ways to be able to talk about the faith with young people. Because what I found with parents is that the reason they don't talk to kids about faith, first of all, they're not comfortable in the faith enough. They don't know enough themselves to be able to have conversations with their kids about it. Because kids are asking questions, they don't have answers. So their solution is, let's just not talk about it. You know, but when you go through the program with the kid, you're sitting there as a parent going, wait a minute. For example, for me, the section on the sacraments where the nuns were going through that, it's probably the best explanation of the sacraments I've ever heard. You know, it was awesome. You know, where the National Dominican nuns were going through that explanation of what is a sacrament and what does sacraments mean in our life. I was like, wow, that's it. That is awesome. You know, I just was going, yes, this hits the nail on the head, you know, and it was just so affirming to hear something that you've heard a million. I know what sacraments are, the definition, what the catechism says, but to get it across in a way in a young person's life where they wake up like, oh, wait, yeah, okay, now I get it. You know, when you talk about Mass, you know, Mass is boring because they don't know why they're there. They have no connection between what happens at that altar and their everyday lived experience. But when they go through children, like, oh, okay, now I know what that action means, or what it has done my life every day.
Yeah, it's
now
not just some kind of a robotic action that I'm doing. It actually means something.
Right.
Yeah.
Now they know why they're there, how Christ has impacted them. Now they want to go to Mass, not because anybody's making them go, because now they're saying, I'm taking ownership of this. I understand, and I want more of this. I want to be part of this. I want Christ in my life. And that in itself, you know, is more than money can buy when you get excited about their faith like that.
Well, it is exciting. And, you know, we're talking about the 5th anniversary of Chosen. Listeners that are interested in bringing this into your parish or even into your home, you can go to ascensionpress.com or Confirmation Study. I believe it's confirmationstudy.com.
Yeah, confirmationstudy.com.
Yeah, either of those websites. And great news that Chosen is actually going to be available in Spanish beginning this summer. I believe it's in July that all of the student and leader materials will be available in Spanish. So that's a great resource for you. And just know that there's also, you know, if you have a child who's already been confirmed or somebody who's not yet ready for confirmation, that all of these materials are available, you know, without the confirmation component too, so that you can just use it for regular faith formation in your home. So Deacon Harold, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about a few big things that have been happening in your life. And so can we pivot for just a minute to some of your other work? Would that be okay?
Sure. Absolutely.
First thing I want to ask you now, you are part of one of my favorite morning shows on EWTN. Tell us a little bit about what's happening in your radio world.
Yeah, so I've had a show called Living Stones on the Modern Day Radio Network, which is now syndicated in about 12 different states. And so I've been doing radio for a while, and I had a show on Radio Maria before that. But then I was approached late last year from EW10 because I've done 8 television series with them. I have a book, my fourth book, which is produced through EW10 Publishing. And the only thing I hadn't been doing is radio. So they approached me. They were revamping Morning Glory, making some changes, and wanted me to kind of come on board. And I prayed about it. I said, yeah, sure. I prayed about it mostly because it's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
on the West Coast, you know, so I had to really pray about that because I'm definitely not a morning person. But it's been an incredible blessing. I've really enjoyed it very much. Gloria and I have been friends for a long time. We did the EWTN series together a few years back. And I've always loved Monsignor Pope. And, you know, so the three of us, I think the dynamic between the three of us The chemistry, I think, is really good, and we're kind of chugging along with the show now.
Yeah, that's amazing. Morning Glory on EWTN with Gloria Purvis and Deacon Harold. I wanted to ask you about the morning component of it, just because I know that you are in Portland, and when you guys used to take guests on the show, I would regularly wake up to be on the show, and it was always sort of a little bit penitential, to be honest, but then also a great blessing for my days on the mornings when I was on, because then it's like you have this gift of kind of real quiet time before life gets busy. So kudos to you. Are you a coffee drinker?
No, you know, everybody asks, I've never liked the taste of coffee.
Oh, so I'm just not natural
coffee
energy.
Drinker, which is at least a venial sin in the Pacific Northwest, because we got Starbucks and Seattle's Best and all of that out there. So
yeah, I think what people don't recognize is that not only do you have to be awake at that hour, but your voice has to be fresh sounding, and you have to be filled with the spirit, which you do with seemingly no effort. So kudos on that. Let's talk about the most recent book, the Father Augustus Tolton book, which I've just loved learning more about him through your writing. Tell us a little bit about this project and what it's meant to you in terms of sharing the life of this amazing man.
Yeah, so Father Augustus Tolton was born a slave in 1854 in Brush Creek, Missouri. His family escaped the Underground Railroad. He ended up in Quincy, Illinois, where they were finally accepted at a Catholic parish after a few tries because of, you know, the extreme racism back then, and was rejected by every seminary in the United States because he was black. And so the Vatican took him, trained him to be a priest, sent him back to Quincy, Illinois, where he served as a priest, but with great difficulty, again, because of the racism there. And so ended up going to Chicago and served the Catholic community there and died in 1897. So he's only 43 years old when he died. And my book is not so much about his life, because there's already a full-length biography about him by Sister Carolyn Hemesath called From Slave to Priest. My book is about lessons we can learn from the life of Father Tolton. So overcoming racism, building strong families, the power of prayer, finding joy in God's mercy, all the different ways that Father Augustus, overcame hardships in his life, but also counted on the providence and the love of God to get him through in his priestly ministry. What lessons can we learn to bring into our own lives, to our own families, and to our own experience today? What he experienced 100 years ago. So that's what the book's about.
Sad to say that so many of those issues, you would think, you know, we've evolved, but in a lot of cases, we still bear a lot of those hurts. And so his story is very relevant. Is he, where is he in the canonization process?
Yeah, so he is a servant of God.
Yes.
Right now. And his body was exhumed, and they did all the forensic analysis, and they read all the writings, and all of that. So all of that was unanimously approved by the Congregation for the Promotion of Saints, and so now it has to go to Pope Francis. So that'll go, we're hopefully sometime later this year, it'll get to Pope Francis. He approves it. Then all he needs is a miracle to become blessed, and then another miracle to become saint. Hopefully one day, you know, we'll have a feast day for Saint Augustus Tolton.
Is it the Archdiocese of Chicago that's promulgating that cause, or someone else?
Yes. So the Auxiliary Bishop Joseph Perry is the one that has been the promoter, the postulator of the cause. And yes, it's moving forward quite nicely, actually.
That's amazing. Well, we can already, and through his membership in the Communion of Saints and the fact that he's recognized as a servant of God, you know, we know that his life has great valor, and we can invoke him for all kinds of interceding prayers on our behalf. Who are some of your other favorite saints?
Well, for me, of course, being a deacon, I gotta give a shout out to the deacon saints. So Vincent Ephraim, who's an Eastern Rite deacon, Lawrence, Francis of Assisi, you know, Stephen, the proto-martyr, the first martyr, who was also a deacon as one of the first seven from Acts of the Apostles. So those would be some of my favorite saints as well.
Awesome. Well, so what's coming up next for you? I know you keep a really busy calendar, and I had the blessing of going to Australia last summer, and you had been over there, and they were still raving about you. What's on the horizon for immediate stuff you're working on?
Yeah, I'm going back to Australia actually for 2 weeks in at the end of August, beginning of September. And I'm going on a pilgrimage. We're calling it Visitations of Mary. So, you know, I have a very strong devotion to the Blessed Mother. So we're going to visit the shrines of in Portugal and Spain and France and really kind of go deep into the Blessed Mother. And really, because she brings us closer to her son, you know. And so I just want people to experience the power of the Blessed Mother in her life by visiting these beautiful shrines and really going more in a different direction, in a sense, coming at Christ another way through his most blessed mother. So I'm very excited to take people on that journey as well.
Sounds amazing. Well, how can people catch up with you if they want to kind of connect with you on social media or follow the work that you're doing?
Sure. DeaconHarold.com. Everything is there, access to all the books and obviously all the social media links there, and Morning Glory and all of that. Just go to deaconharold.com.
Awesome. And don't worry, friends, we'll have all these links for you in the show notes. So definitely check out confirmationstudy.com and deaconharold.com. And again, we'll have those linked up in the show notes for the podcast. Deacon Harold, anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners before we let you get on with the rest of your day?
Well, I just want to just thank you for having me on again. I very much enjoy the work that you've been doing for so long, and I mean, you've been to Africa not too long ago. I remember seeing pictures on your social media, of your trip there, and you know, and so you continue to touch people around the world. We pray that the Holy Spirit just keep us strong in what He's chosen for us to do, and that people may be glorified, that may glorify God through the work that we're doing in His vineyard.
Amen to that. Well, thank you so much. Know of our prayers, and friends, definitely check out Deacon Harold, deaconharold.com. Now, that's about it for this week's show, friends. I want to thank everybody who's been sending prayers for our family. We're so grateful, especially your prayers for my mom and dad during my mom's health struggles. Just know that I can't often respond back personally to each one of those, but I want you to know that I feel that strength, and that when you pray for me, please know that I'm praying for you too. You can help the podcast spread by visiting our friends over at Breadbox Media. And if you have a minute to drop over to iTunes or wherever you listen to the show and leave a star rating or a review, your feedback reviews help me to improve. And if there's a guest that you'd like to hear on the show, a great way to reach out to me is by email at lisahendy @gmail.com or anywhere on social media at Lisa Hendy. I am going to say goodbye for this week, but know that we are always together in the Spirit. I hope you have an amazing, awesome week, and I'll see you next time, friends. Bye-bye.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I'd like to invite you to join me for a pilgrimage tour to France this September. It's based on my book, St. Benedict and St. Therese, The Little Rule and the Little Way. I'll be teaching about the spiritualities and the lives of these two great saints, and we'll be visiting the great monastery of Fleury, where St. Benedict's relics are venerated, and of course going to Lisieux to visit the childhood home of St. Therese, the Carmel where she was a nun, and the great basilica dedicated to her honor. But there's more than that. At Paris, we'll be visiting the Basilica of Sacré-Cœur, Rue de Bach with the Miraculous Medal, going on to Vézelay, Nevers with St. Bernadette, Paray-le-Monial, where the devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus was given to St. Margaret Mary, and then Chartres Cathedral, Mont-Saint-Michel, the Normandy beaches, and more. I think there's not only going to be time for instruction and learning, but also prayer and worship, celebrating Mass in the various locations, and also time for fellowship and a good bit of French food and wine, too. Come and join us this September. If you'd like to know more, go to CatholicHeritageTours.com. That's CatholicHeritageTours.com, or be in touch with me through my website, DwightLongenecker.com.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at KaneFord.com.